Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is not the first incident of minor issues. The going to bed with a device on, under the covers, you know, doing that. That's
I still
routine.
Do that.
And that's
I know,
like,
but his is a game, Oscar.
The bell felt like a day later, Taco Bell, 40 minutes later when it was delivered.
Science shows that after 2 hours and 10 minutes, the meat in a steak soft taco will begin to regenerate into a cow.
What's a middle swirly? I don't know what a swirly
or you
is.
Put someone's, no, you put someone's head in the toilet and you flush it.
I never knew that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's did you have toilets when you were in school?
No one was really bullying you when you were a kid, I'm sure.
No,
you
we had holes in the backyard.
That's what I thought.
Because,
the privy.
We'd go out to the privy.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Illness is upon us again. We wish our very, very best to our own Michael McIntosh, who could not sound any more ill. Mac, I listened to your voice today. You are obviously working from home. That's why Oscar came in and had to go behind the Oz curtain and turn everything on.
The magic machines.
The magic machines that bring us to you each and every day, which we are eternally grateful for. Mac, I'm curious, when did you notice this death grip that apparently has invaded your throat?
This is a little bit of carryover from yesterday.
A little bit of rock and roll.
Were you able to sing at Mass this weekend?
Unfortunately, I was not. I had to miss that.
Oh, it was his solo, Mike.
Was it the Domino's? Because what did you order at Domino's? I remember you went and picked it up instead of getting it
That's
delivered.
That's right. I remember.
Because that was peculiar. You think you got it there, or where do you think you got it?
No. I had like a sore throat on Sunday and Monday. And then when yesterday was worse, and then this morning it just hit me.
Did you get the at Domino's? Did you get the new virus lovers pizza?
I did not.
I'm a
cheese pizza guy.
Yeah, well, what's
shocking?
What's your deal?
Hey, nothing wrong with a cheese pie
at the pickup. Like, what is that special that I see just bombarded onto my app and onto my commercials while I watch the National Football League?
So essentially, any item you get is $8 for carry out only. So you can get a large pizza.
I don't want to make him talk anymore.
I want to hear this. This is actually this
large
is
pizza,
this is value.
Wings, some like garlic bread, all of that. Each dollar thing, bread. $8, carry out only.
Okay, is there unlimited toppings for $8?
Are they all garbage cans?
I don't think it's unlimited, but I could be wrong. I haven't looked that far.
But you're saying that a regular pizza is $15. You pick up, it's $8.
Yeah, you can get like a coupon for a large pizza for like $12.
I would recommend for you that perhaps you try the vitamin C pizza.
Oh God!
Do you average any? Have you ever like figured out how many? I used to back when I got them more often. Do you figure out how many colds you get a year? How many times you get a real like head cold? I used to get about two or three a year.
I mean, I haven't had a cold in like 4 or 5 years. It's been a very long time.
Good. Well, you see.
You also haven't been active or in the workforce for that long. So.
Well,
you mean like out of doors?
Micro Center, I was.
Oh, please. You told me you took 5 months off there.
Yeah, but I mean, back in the day.
I took a month off at the start of the pandemic, yeah.
But I mean, he was there. He was slaying the dragon.
It was an essential worker.
When you got him the job, Oscar.
And what was great is while he was there, never once, Mike, never once did he lick a transistor.
Right? You know what was fun? All kidding aside, Mac is evolving into this white lotus of
what?
A wonderful a flower here at in our little, you know, conclave of TMOS pod.
Congratulations to Jennifer Coolidge for the Emmy, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Deserved. Well deserved.
Team effort. And it's the level of communication that Mac has with me, I love, because I need to know. I need to know if you're going to, you know, if you're having a down day, if you're having an up day, if like anything. It's just, it's a different level. What I also, and I'll take this moment just to highlight, is that Mac is very good under pressure. Yesterday, between like an ESPN and we had Strayer University in and another.
I know you had Strayer University as one of your clients. Congratulations. Yeah, that's nice to hear.
Yes, thank you.
One of our clients.
It's a family, right. Yes.
When Strayer University comes in, does Mac attend to it or does he go into a parking lot and play on his iPad?
Now, that is, Rob is doing a callback to when Mac was going to community college.
Yes.
And he would hide in the parking lot and
he would
do video.
He wouldn't even make it to the university parking lot. Right. He'd go to the, was it the Wegmans or Trader Joe's parking lot? Which one was it?
Baldacci's. Whole Foods.
That's a blue blood.
Yeah. Baldacci's is where your mom gets the Florida cake.
Yeah. Oh, no. Balducci's.
Sharp as a tack.
Balducci's.
Balducci's.
Oh, Balducci's. Yes. Right. Yeah. So just, so we've got all these productions going on, and there's luminaries here, right? And we're happy to have them as clients.
Sure.
And Reed Galen is walking through with another prominent member of the Lincoln Project, and he sees Mac. He goes, "Mac McIntosh," like recognized Mac.
That's great. And
Reed did.
Yes.
Reed's and, so nice. Reed is so generous with his time for us.
He is.
I can't say how much I appreciate it.
And Mac is in his. Because one of the prerequisites for Mac coming to work here at Pottville was he wanted to bring his gaming chair. So because he wanted to sit in his race car chair, much like your son has, Mike.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. It's a comfortable.
Yeah, they're cozy chair. And comfy.
Right.
They don't match any other aesthetic that we have here, but he has his gaming chair.
Yeah. Was that almost a deal breaker at the negotiations?
He said it was a must for him, and the next day he had it here.
Right.
So
good for him.
So he's in his gaming chair, not gaming, and then he swivels around. And he sees it's Reed Galen, and he clearly knows who that is. And he lights up like a light bulb. He's like, oh.
So that's great.
I'm finally being treated like the celebrity I am, Mac McIntosh.
There you go.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Reed had this callback of callbacks where he said, I still remember the episode when you showed up on Mike's doorstep. And Mike thought you were a telemarketer.
That's like back when he started with the show.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
when he came to my home.
Yes.
That was the interview, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's right. And I didn't know who you were.
And wasn't it poorly planned to a fact that only Mike was there when you arrived?
Yeah, one of our support staff forgot to tell anyone I was coming. So everybody had already left, and it was just Mike there not knowing I was going to come.
Mm. And a friendship was born.
Yes.
Sure.
All
sure
these. What did Mike say when he opened the door?
What do you want?
That's a pretty good. You know, through your cold and everything, that's a pretty good impression of me.
Yeah, it is.
That is very simple, but it's a pretty good impression. Right there. And look at you now. You've been with us for a good long time.
Yeah.
We have I will always be proudest of the fact that people that have been associated with this show, we still have relationships with.
Yes.
And that will be one of my greatest joys in life when I'm thinking about that. Now, I have to mention this. I'm not proud of it, but I have to mention this. Speaking of illness. So yesterday we got a call. Carla was home and I was home, which doesn't happen that much. And
Right. We
got a call that Michael is at the nurse's office, and the nurse, when the nurse calls, great nurse at his school, when she calls, it's usually something. These nurses know how to figure these kids out.
Yeah.
And you know, there are little tells, like if you say your stomach's not doing well and you don't eat lunch, that's kind of validation right there. But he's been to the nurse, I would say, enough times to be a slight cause for concern on our end, where I had a chat with him today driving him to school about, you know, you don't want to play that card too often. And the reason I had the chat with him is that for the second time, he complained about the stomach, and then he was fine. When we got him home, he was A-okay, and he made a point to let us know that everything was post recess, where they front load the day at his school, so the academics are all done in the front part of the day, which I know is a fact, and so that's good. But we collected him at around 12:30 ish, about 2 hours before his day would end, and took him home. this morning, and he's making references to the fact that his stomach's still bothering him, but he's not. He's interacting with his friends when they get home from their full school day.
Right.
And then this morning,
what are his symptoms? Is it like nausea or hurt?
Nausea and upper in a not cramps down in the bottom.
Right.
And I know his routine because he is me, and I know how that rolls. And I know that I remember third, fourth grade. That was primary. You know, you don't want to do something. What can you do to get out of it?
Yeah.
Now his grades are stellar. He's a straight A student, and he got what I think academically kids need nowadays. He got a 106 on his math test, which means you get the full range of correct answers plus the extra credit. And that's kind of what puts the people
fantastic.
Over.
It's great.
Then he gets, then he gets to work at WJFK for
not
the 106.
Chance.
So not if we can help it.
But for the second time now, and this morning, this is we are all hustling. It's
right.
It's
life.
It's go, go, go.
Yes.
And, you know, not much time. You know, the 6 a.m. Awakening time in the O'Mara house doesn't cut it. We got to make it 5:30 again. I'll be talking family meeting on that tonight. We start at 5:30. And he says, Dad, I need to show you something. And I already know what he's going to show me. I know he's going to call me into the bathroom and he's going to point in the toilet and he's going to say he threw up when he really didn't throw up. I know it's coming. I know this as soon as he, because Rob, you know what they used to call me on the old Don and Mike show?
Well,
the crap detector.
Yeah, absolutely.
I usually know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I look the other way 80% of the time when people BS me. And sometimes I call people on it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I thought you were going to say that because I don't have kids and I don't know what kids do at 10. I thought he was going to point at the toilet and said, I made duty.
No,
I did not. I didn't know.
Much people were well beyond
well
that.
Beyond duties. Yeah. Okay,
so I look down and it appears to be some of his breakfast cereal taken in a cup and put in the toilet. And he said, "Dad, look, I really did throw." And we're walking.
Oh,
away.
So
I
he's said, gone. He's he, gone he the extra it. Mile.
But it, God love him.
I mean,
he cops to it. Instantaneously unfazed. Okay, let's go. It was like that was my weak ass shot at trying to get another day
off.
Was
he joking?
No.
Was he like, hey, just doing shtick, or just he's like,
no,
this I is think, like,
no, he realized he'd been caught.
This is the architect,
the taskmaster of the home.
Yes.
The prison, the head prison guard,
which
is Mrs. O'Mara.
I have a supreme respect for.
Is Mrs. O'Mara. But when it comes to illness and missing out on things because of I'm not having it usually at all. I just, it's like, you may
want to tell him the best recipe for fake vomit is one can of each type of clam chowder.
Yeah, but that's, you know, he doesn't have the time to do that. He's trying to do a last
clams.
Minute deal.
Yeah.
The thing I said was, okay, that's fine. All right. You're still going to school.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay. And when he did that, that was the final confirmation. I said, did you throw cereal in the toilet? Because it looked like cereal. And he said, yeah, Dad. I said, don't do that again. And then on the way down, I said, well, you know, because I know there's an underlying thing. I said, what's eating you? It's been a tough 24 hours in the O'Mara household. And the stress, and it's that time of year.
Sure.
And I think that I get it as we approach February post Super Bowl, which is I call the doldrums. That's
the worst
when
time
it's
of the year.
That's when it's the bummer time. Winter is here, and even in Florida, it's been unsettled. But
the only thing that rescues the doldrums,
going to school.
Mike, the only thing that can rescue those doldrums is birthday season, and thank God we've got that.
No. Year. You get no. What rescues the doldrums is well, it's one day. It's St. Patrick's Day.
Because we still have playoff.
We have playoffs. We have football.
The
that
Super
gets
Bowl,
us through.
Right. And then it's the the quiet time, and then you get St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then it's then we just pray for spring as much as we can. I had one or two in Washington D.C. where we would always have a vacation around that time too. And the best scenario,
Mike,
would
you
be,
always had a vacation around every time.
Yeah, we did. We had a great schedule. We had a great schedule. But when it comes to this, I want to know the underlying reason. He said, stress out, got a test. Same material they did last week, just different problems. And okay. It's the same. And I have no problem with it because I like the honesty of, and I've been strategizing with how to handle my 10-year-old with Mrs. O'Mara. And the strategizing has proved to be fruitful. And what the strategy is something that doesn't come easy to me or my wife, which is more calm, more chill, more matter of fact. Not an argument about bedtime or gaming time or anything. A matter of fact, I'm sorry you feel that way. That's the way it is. Firmness with calm. And man, oh man, I'm here to tell you, I've read a lot of crap on the internet, but this is effective, and I'm very happy with the way
hard to implement sometimes, though. It is because it makes you.
How hard is it? You just have to say only the strong survive. Which one are you? Choose.
My only regret is that I didn't do it sooner.
Yeah.
What was that? What did you say? What I heard.
My mom had this saying when we were kids, when we said we were sick, she would say, and I can't remember at this moment, but something along the lines that only the strong survive. Choose which one are you, and then you'd have to man up or lady up and get up and get going.
I thought you said Jews, and I thought we had a major controversy.
Choose.
You know, it's just not Escoge. Oscar, your timing could be better. Escoge. On no. Choose.
But when Oscar says it's easy to implement it, it's not because you are inclined to yell. I mean, I don't mean you as you, Mike. I mean, one is inclined to yell at your kid. Because if you get frustrated.
And the thing is, I read a long, 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 long time ago about European children in public and American children in public. And the Europeans don't do that. The Europeans
don't yell at the kids?
I think it's a more chill environment, yeah. more a matter mm-hmm. of fact. Not even that they may be not out
they
of control.
They did have to go through the blitzkrieg.
That's why they lost the war, because they said, everybody get
in
the basement.
Can we please just stay on point here? My point being that screaming and yelling, and we've all been in the restaurant or the grocery store or the store where you see Johnny, mm-hmm. Johnny, Johnny, yep. mm-hmm. Johnny, Johnny, mm-hmm. that. After the third Johnny, it doesn't land, it doesn't register. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll keep you posted.
My mom still gives me grief about one time she saw me yelling at the kids, and I think it was to Robert. And I said, he said something. I said, and that's another lie. And she still quotes me on that. She says, you're not helping the cause when you say that's another lie at that volume. So that was sort of a turning point.
I'd love to see you do that to us. I'd like to see that, because that would be entertainment. That's not trying to discipline us or anything like that.
That's true.
You have occasionally, but you go into full passive aggressive mode when you're countering your.
I do not.
There you go. See, that's what I like. Okay. I like that.
Do you? That makes me uncomfortable.
It does.
Do you? Yeah, because I know that it's painful for him. It's not really him. It's
not
really genuinely him, right?
That's not. The
and that's probably what's great, because we can all be monsters.
And the name of today's show: We Can't All Be Monsters.
Yeah.
The album. I don't know how to say this without divulging names and secrets.
We can bleep.
No, I have a relative who has children, and at one point that one of their children did something that was kind of like along the lines of what little Michael did, which is kind of just mischievous, but like
very calculated.
Yeah, cunning.
Yeah. That she called me, because I'm probably the fifth call on the tree because no one else answered, and she caught me, and she said, hey, like, I think that there might be some sort of mischievous criminal gene in my husband's lineage, and I need to catch this early if this is what's happening with this one individual.
Yeah, the tomfoolery and hijinks.
Yes. Yeah, tomfoolery, hijinks, and criminals completely different, right?
Oh, well, so the cunning
has to start somewhere.
Was it a theft issue?
No, it was something along the lines of what you're talking about.
Was he kiting checks?
What's kiting checks?
It's an old thing where you would like float a check. It's very
okay. Like a kite. I've never heard that expression in my life.
It's really old fashioned.
Forging checks.
It's forgery.
Yeah.
Or it's writing a check that you can't cover.
Yeah.
Right.
I said, I think this is probably, you know, out of control. Like, this is, they're little kids. They're trying to figure out what they can get away with. I was like, let me tell you a story about a young lady named Julia Jellybean. And that's the one reference I had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Julia has turned out to be fantastic. And my, yep. My family member, the young person, the little kid at that time, it turned out to be a very thoughtful, but what I think would be terrifying as a father is, or mother, is to confirm that they're on this moral path, right? That there's mm-hmm. like these guardrails that say this is what you can and cannot do.
And I understand your point. What would be terrifying would be not knowing, or what would be the terror part?
My point is, if he is smart enough to, in my eyes, yeah. at that age, to throw cereal in yeah. the toilet,
okay.
yeah. and right. fake being sick.
Yes.
Most kids would just say they're sick, or, you know, throw toothpaste and just that's it. He threw cereal, like real food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
he noodles it through a little bit.
That's next level, like, genius.
It is. So, right? how far away is he, Mike, from doing a fake trip and fall with mock blood at a 7-Eleven and suing?
You know, yeah.
That's the guardrails of, like, hey, there are guardrails to morality, and if you're like, this is a mechanism to get him out of something else, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that this is happening right now. It just reminded me of that one instance with a family member that I said, you're overreacting. This isn't like the path to this criminal world.
Right.
But there is, she goes, well, that's something you have to always think about. Like,
you got to be aware of
too many of these.
I think, the worst thing I would have done, in worst case scenario, what happened this morning would have been, oh my gosh, so you finally did throw up. You heard specifically, I think the nurse had told Carla, if he gets sick to his stomach, don't have him come in, because they're worried, obviously, about a rotavirus or something like that mm-hmm. going through the school. So I think the worst thing that could have happened would be if I was a gullible parent, and there are gullible parents out there that would say, oh my gosh, let me feel your forehead. Yeah. Yep, you're warm. Yep.
You
Let's
feel
go
warm.
Back to bed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get a Ferris Bueller moment there. That's when you police it. That's when yeah. you
What
just
if,
stay
though,
ahead
Mike, what if you called him on it and said, oh my God, no school today. Let's go to the doctor.
Mm hmm.
Would he?
That's next level.
If, first of all, if that was a game that you were playing,
right.
It wouldn't be productive either. I don't want to play. I don't want to take one BS thing and turn it into a two BS.
True.
Thing. I
true.
Want to, you know,
nip it. You want to nip it.
Nip it. And at the same time,
boo.
The honest response, the copping to it yes. immediately, was a sign of tremendous respect to me, which sure. I yeah. truly appreciated. I said,
I agree.
Listen,
I agree with
you. I appreciate the honesty, and that yeah. is the most important thing. Now, if this is not the first incident of minor issues, you know, when you know, the going to bed with a device on under the covers, you know, doing that's
I still routine do that.
And yeah. that's
I know
like,
but his when, is a game Oscar
but you know you go out you put the phone you take we take the phone and yeah. and then the phone goes missing, or there are a lot of different things you can hear. Yeah. We hear it. It's a small yeah. house. We don't have a big yeah. house here, so we know what's going on. But I would not be being genuine if I didn't say, is it something that in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, keep an eye on this one. Yeah. I would yeah. urge that for all parents. Keep an eye on that, you know, because
yeah, especially if there's a pattern.
Well, it's also not going right? to stop. It's not because he copped to it. Doesn't mean, well, don't have to worry about dishonesty anymore. He's a kid.
My mom would, I think I've mentioned this, she would say, tienes que te puse un palo, which yes. means,
Pusa?
I made sure to put a stick on you, and it doesn't mean what it sounds like.
Like not hitting, not like with a switch?
Yeah, it means, like, we were kids, we were growing plants, and you don't want your plant to grow sideways, so once it starts going sideways.
Yeah.
You
oh, it's a maintenance.
It.
It's a landscaping.
You stake it, and so you grow correctly
I love
and appropriately.
That
That's a good expression.
I put a stick on you.
Yeah.
I put a steak on you. That's,
I put a steak on you.
That's really cool. Because it's true, because you got to be vigilant.
You do.
Right? You have to be vigilant
ever
for
vigilant.
Kids. Yeah. And by the way, the big stuff is, you know, he does fine. We have a loving environment in here most of the time. And the idea of toning down the, you know, the tough. My wife is so tough.
How tough is she?
She is so tough. She's tough. She's tougher than I am. I don't lack toughness because I can't handle conflict. I lack toughness because I don't want to be bothered with it. I just don't want.
You want it resolved. Yeah.
I don't want a back and forth. I don't want a back and forth. And in that way, because it's natural that I act like that, my word has a little more weight because when I get to the point where I'm like, that's it, dude.
Yeah, by the time you're involved in it, it's over.
But I also don't follow through. Something I could probably.
You're like a crock pot. It goes too long.
If you get me to that point, it will boil over and it'll be brief, but it sucks. So my feeling on this is gladdy cop to it, file it away, cool, playing that little game at this hour of the morning.
Could have gave him a swirly. That would have been terrible.
But what's a swirly?
Oscar?
Go ahead, Rob.
It's a classic prank or a bully activity in school. I would think mostly at the
what's
middle
a swirly?
School level.
I don't know what a swirly is.
Or you
is
put
it a
someone's no, you put someone's head in the toilet and you flush it.
I never knew that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's did you have toilets when you were in school?
No one was really bullying you when you were a kid. I'm sure.
No,
you
we had holes in the backyard.
That's what I thought.
Because,
the privy.
The privy. We go out to the privy. I got a wedgie when I quit tobacco when I was 15.
Yes,
14,
but a swirly. No. Yeah.
And they took me and not only gave me a wedgie, but they hung me from like a tree branch with my wedgie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's got to be painful.
And I'm
that's
up there. Atomic. You know, I don't remember it being all that painful. I mean, I remember it being frustrating where I'm like, come on, guys, come on, because I couldn't reach back there and give it. And my body, my 15-year-old body weight was just suspending me up there. And they were laughing and stuff like that. And they, like they probably had it happen before.
Well, it's like a tradition. But on the bright side,
I worked 2 weeks of picking tobacco and told my parents I wanted to go work with Gary Caldwell and paint houses.
While you were up there, no crows at all. You scared them all.
It was horrible. I've never talked. I have talked about picking tobacco, but we had. You don't think
to be
of the
fair.
State.
Weren't you suckering tobacco?
I was suckering tobacco. Yeah.
Okay,
and suckers are the tobacco plant where you. My job as one of the kids, the younger kids, was to get down on the plant and break off these weeds that grow on the stalk of the tobacco plant. Mm.
You do the same thing with corn. It's actually part of the plant, but it doesn't yield anything. So by breaking them off, it puts all the strength into the usable part of the plant.
Yeah, so but they were chopping them down too. So I mean they were coming right back in back of us and chopping them down. So and then you'd get tobacco juice on your hand and which was super sticky, and the tobacco juice you'd have to get the stickiness out of your hands by rubbing them in the dirt. So by lunchtime, you had about a little half-inch buildup of dirt and solidified tobacco juice on your hands, and then you'd eat your sandwich with those tobacco dirt hands that you had. And the foreman or the guy that was cutting, in my case, it happened to be the foreman. If you weren't moving quick enough, suckering the weeds off the bottom of the tobacco plant, he would take the axe handle of the hatchet that he was using to cut down the tobacco plant, and it would hit you on the back of the elbow right here, which would send that that little tingliness into your hands. And so I did that for 2 weeks and hated it so much. Oh, by the way, I was up at 5:30, which back then, now I get up at 5:30 all the time. But back in the day, 5:30 was at 15 years old. 5:30 was like, oh my God. And waiting out, walking to the end of the street where the bus for the tobacco workers in my hometown would be. And we picked broadleaf tobacco, which is the filler for cigarettes, cigars, and all that, as opposed to Connecticut shade grown, which was done by the migrant workers because I think it was a more skill job getting that picked and they grew tobacco under the shade, and shade grown is what they use for cigar wrappers. Connecticut shade. You still read about it. It's a Connecticut shade wrapper.
Is there still like a tobacco industry up there?
Oh my God, yeah.
I
absolutely
had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah, the Connecticut Valley had had tobacco, and it was owned by the Dufford factory. I mean, not the Dufford factory, the Dufford family.
Ah.
And Linda Dufford was a friend of, I think, Candy Bushnell, who was Sex in the City Candy Bushnell.
Right.
And they owned a lot of the land, and they were the farmers, and their family hired local kids to do that. And it was just, if you saw the way we were treated as 14 and 15-year-olds, yeah, and the way kids are treated now, where you don't even have kids who want to get a job at McDonald's, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's pretty strange, you know?
There is... Oh God, I don't even know how to articulate this. This isn't a generational thing. But getting a job at 14, 15 was, it's, I don't think it's a, it, maybe because we just were, you know, we didn't know what we were going to, we're not upper middle class. We were maybe a little less than middle class.
That's what we were.
Yeah. And,
I think we were middle class.
It was part of like, where are you going to work this summer? Right? Where are you going to work this summer?
I don't remember it being expected by the family. I remember it being expected by my friends. Like it was a thing.
Yeah, like everybody would have a job somewhere. Yeah,
and I remember when we got our McDonald's in our town, and it was the cherry gig.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted to work there. Everybody wanted to work there. And that's the way it was. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, did it from 14, 15 on. And I remember that, you know, quitting was not, did I get the wedgie when I quit? Yeah, but I also remember it was deemed, you know, somebody had been there before me and quit. I wasn't the only one that bailed on it. The idea of doing that for the whole summer, I had an option. But I wouldn't have been able to quit if I didn't have the option. So having the option, which ended up being 98 degrees in the summertime and going up on a ladder with oil-based paint in these old colonial houses and going, like that.
Yeah.
That was it.
But that gives you a good baseline, even with Rob, the forced labor you had to like.
Well, yeah, in my house, it was familial because, you know, as soon as
farming.
I could do anything, it was
or
on the farm.
Or furniture.
And then when I got a driver's license, it was to the furniture store because I could handle small deliveries and do stuff for and assist on other deliveries. So, I mean, it was expected to be done.
What were your workarounds at the furniture store? Like, what would you – do you have a memory of, like, jobs you would like, jobs that you would not like,
things
that
you
would like to do?
Skirt responsibility, but it seemed like a win?
That's – yeah, because
no, there were, you know what? There were no workarounds at the furniture store because it was – basically four employees, and one of them was my grandfather.
Aww.
So there was really no way to cheat the system there. I liked...
You didn't want to grift family.
No, you don't grift family. I liked long days.
I don't know about that.
Saturday was our big delivery day, and if we packed the truck right and plotted out the way to drive, we used those old Alexandria Drafting Company maps used to buy at 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. And at the top of each ticket, we'd write a page number and a letter and a number. So we'd know that we'd go to like page 17, E8 is where that house was. And then we'd figure out the best order to go on the deliveries and then pack the truck in reverse. So, you know, they'd come off in order.
But that's operations. That's smart.
That was operations. Yeah. I like that. And then if it went smooth on a Saturday, that was great. I didn't like delivering stuff by myself because I was a kid. I was 16, 17. Mm-hmm. It was weird. And I mean, it could be something as simple as like a coffee table or an end table. Recliners at that point got to a point where the back would come off so you could deliver them in two pieces. And that was a one-man job. And it was a little awkward at that point.
What about the farm work?
The farm work, suckering corn was about the worst. I'll tell you that. And
getting down on your hands and
because
knees.
It is,
getting down in a squatting position to where the base of the stalk of the plant has all the weeds on it.
Yeah, but then there was stuff I like. I liked planting tomatoes. That was always fun. That was
a process. Can I ask about the corn? Did you ever run into any corn snakes?
There were snakes occasionally, yeah. It wasn't like a big problem, but no, you would see stuff like that. Because corn was That was like pulling quarters from the ground, as we used to say, because every ear of corn was 25 cents. And I mean, now that's laughable, but back then it was great.
It added up.
Yeah. And so we would plant acres and acres of corn.
What is corn now? How much does an ear of corn cost?
I think it's probably 50 cents now.
It's still cheap.
Yeah. Well, relatively, if you think about it, I don't know what the current cost is. But it used to be forever. It was $3 a dozen, 25 cents an ear, or $2.40 a dozen for yellow corn, which was less popular.
Excuse me, guys. The flag football phone tree has begun again.
Oh, no.
No problem.
I'm just turning it
over. I do have a tip in, if that's possible.
Go right ahead.
So something we have in common, and I just hadn't even factored that in after all these years, is we've all worked in some sort of cash crop.
That's true.
One of the summers, and we used to go back every summer to
Oscars
back to
was marijuana.
Back to Bolivia.
Opium poppy.
And I remember, and my mom grew up in the tropics. I was born in La Paz, which is the highest capital city in the world, right? Mm-hmm. The Andes Mountains. But when we go to the tropics, I remember we were there for roughly, it felt like probably 2 months, because my mother's mother was still there and she had family. But for a month of that, my cousin said, it's time to go to work. And I must have been like 12, So we'd go and check in at this tent and they'd give us a machete and a coca leaf to start chewing on.
No.
And then we would go out to...
kites. Let's go to work.
We would go.
It
looked like a chemical factory, but it was out in the middle of the jungle. I don't know what they were making. And then this white powder would at the end of the assembly line.
When Oscar used to harvest the cacao. What coca?
The coca leaf.
Mike,
chew them all day long. Yeah. Yes, sirree.
Walmart has corn for 50 cents an ear, but if you buy like the pre-shucked, pre-wrapped cobs of corn, Target has 4 ears for $3.69.
All right.
So that's nearly $1 an ear. Crazy.
Can you look up the price on a kilo of cocaine?
Yeah.
We should on that note, we have to take
time?
A break.
Yeah.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen. We will return with the roundtable. Very interesting sex news today at the end of the roundtable.
Did you have a big night?
No, I got to dance around a story. I'm still looking at it. I still have no idea. Stay tuned for that because I have no idea how I'm going to successfully get around this without being extremely graphic. We'll be right back. Fuel your peak performance with 4Wellness.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate functional food brand. 4Wellness was founded by Phil Mickelson and renowned performance coach Dave Phillips. It's a game-changing performance coffee supplement. That's right. You put it in your coffee.
Yes.
You can elevate your brew with just one scoop for enhanced focus, reduced caffeine jitters, increased collagen, and fat-burning support. But that's not all. Dive into their recovery gummies.
Aha!
There they are right there. You're gonna have one now, or did you have one before?
I'm going to have two right now.
All right. Hold it up to your camera so we can see your recovery gummies.
All right.
All right.
And you know, Mike, the flavor is delightful. Hibiscus cherry.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on. Oh, they smell great. Look at those guys right there. Beautiful.
Yep. Those are the recovery gummies.
They're packed
with antioxidants, electrolytes. Perfect for pre-workout or post-golf recovery. Need a sweet treat? Try the Superfood Focus Bites that taste like a chocolate brownie. Plus, with a risk-free 60-day money-back guarantee, what have you got to lose? Unleash your full potential with 4Wellness, because your body and mind deserve the best. So if you drink coffee, it's time to give 4Wellness a try. Head to 4Wellness.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for 25% off your order. Again, that's 4Wellness.com/TMOS for 25% off. And make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you, people. There it is.
The Kraken is spreading straw and tomatoes.
Very, very, very exciting. We've been we stayed with the Kraken, which I think is just
I
noble.
Love the Kraken. He's a good guy.
I do too. I absolutely love the Kraken. How come I can't hear it? I'm trying right now. Hold on. That's why. Okay. Oh, that sounded good. Hey, this might not come as a total shocker. This is a throwaway story, as we call them in the business.
Right.
This is a story about Jason Priestley. You know him. He was a heartthrob. And yes. Brad Pitt, another heartthrob. Ladies and gentlemen,
what's going on?
That's right. Brad Pitt has a heart problem.
This might not come as a surprise, but Jason Priestley says Brad Pitt can go a long time without a shower.
Oh.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
They briefly lived together with a third roommate in the late 80s in a really crappy part of L.A. Jason says they used to play a game to see who could go the longest without showering, and Brad always won.
And I always win.
Here's the quote. Yes, go ahead, Oscar.
It just must have been like a den of sin. You've got Jason Priestley and Brad Pitt.
Right. Yeah.
Living in one home.
And you know that they had relations while they weren't showering.
Yeah, I mean, how many Eiffel Towers?
Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ.
And how bad do you feel if you're the third guy?
Imagine if you're, you know, they got, I don't care whether they're famous or not, they got women throwing themselves
of
at those guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
then
guys.
No showers.
At the door.
And then do the whole thing again on a Saturday night. Yucky.
Let's run it back again.
Oh, my God. Here's the quote. I think
Can
about
I
it now,
over?
And I'm like, dude, how disgusting. What were you thinking? Jason previously talked about living with Brad in his 2014 memoir. He said they lived on ramen, generic beer, and Marlboro Lights because they were broke.
Mm.
I think a lot of those actors smoke the chokes.
I think when I hear, like, years later that Jason Bateman lived with, like, or like they knew Bradley Cooper, like all these people knew each other,
came up together, yeah,
for some fashion, but they were friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, like, we're friends here,
yeah,
yes,
right?
They're friends that went on to become movie.
Yeah, they
stars.
Were friends before. Like, this is like early JFK days. Imagine if. You, me, Rob, Don, Chad, and everybody, and the Junkies were all of the same age and then grew up in this
and
radio
lived
game,
together.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just surreal.
Yeah.
You know who else, speaking of Eiffel Towers, were famous roommates, were Fred Couples and Jim Nantz.
That's right, Rob.
They were?
Yes. I believe that, was it the University of North Carolina or one of those schools?
It was something.
Or was it Wake
Forest? I'm thinking Texas for some reason.
Or was it Houston or something like that? I don't remember.
How long did you go without showering, Jim?
I showered every 10 minutes. Freddie, not so much.
Oh, Fred.
Thank you. More celebrity news. Kieran Culkin won his Emmy for Succession Monday night. You played the tape of him where he asked his wife for more kids.
Yes.
He ended the acceptance speech with that. They already have two, and she had actually told him she might agree to more if he won the Emmy. Well, Kieran now admits he shouldn't have done that. I'm not sure why. Here's his quote. Instead of just talking to her in private. Kieran Culkin's funny.
He is.
Instead of just talking to her in private like a human, I just blasted her on stage, which was very rude. Kieran says that in the run-up to the Emmys, Jazz, that's her name, quote, spent the whole week being nervous. So I guess, you know, it's that. But
I like that Kieran comes off a little bit normal and not a crazy guy like his brother. You know,
yeah,
I think it's
good. Because Macaulay always seemed like a little out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But how could you not be when you're that young and that famous?
Exactly.
The Home Alone famous. You know?
Well, but Home Alone famous and
Michael Jackson.
Richie Rich
Michael
famous.
Jackson. And then he was, you know, dating Mila Kunis for five,
oh, that's
six years.
Right. I forgot about that.
Like that. And then
he's not that crazy. Am I right, fellas?
No. Just like then you got to see her. You got to see her with Ashton Kutcher living their best life. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, but he also wouldn't go days without showering.
It's a nice callback again. I have to share with you this. Let me turn that down just a scotch. My kid in particular, even at 10, is already calling me out on not being aware of terminology,
okay.
Not being aware of terms. The kids on TikTok are still obsessing over outdated terms that make you sound old. Guilty is charged,
mm-hmm.
Guilty is charged, guilty is charged. Here's another one. If you step away from your computer, I have never done this, by the way, and type BRB. What does it mean? Anybody know?
Be right back.
Of course, be right back.
I've never written it in my life.
ever. And fairness to you, usually, Mike, you don't have to tell people what you're doing. You just do it.
Yeah. Tough guy. I'm so cool.
I think BRB doesn't it go back. It goes back to like SMS message. What was the message like? AOL Messenger. That's what I'm thinking of.
I'm still when on SMH.
Oh, shake my head.
I don't know about these kids these days, SMH.
BRB.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be when you would leave your desktop. But if you got your phone, you're not going to leave your phone.
You're not in an office. This is strange. The BRB option for me is not applicable anywhere except for when you're going to the restroom.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, you'd be like, I got to go pick up a package or I have to go meet with a client.
I've never used it. I use
it. You don't have to.
I use IDKAT a lot. IDKAT.
What's that?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. If you guys sent me that, I would crap my pants. That'd be fine.
So let me see.
I love that it's making a resurgence in the new year.
Really bringing it back.
Well, the BRB, young people claim they never really use it, and maybe there's a good reason because they're never away from their computers. Everyone has their phone on them constantly, so you don't need to write BRB very often. Here's the quote. It was kind of nice when the internet was a single, solitary, unmoving place instead of a terror that extends to everywhere. You went to this specific spot to go to the internet, and when you left the spot, you left the internet. It was a place. That's valid.
It's not valid.
You can't have it both ways. You can't work from home or anywhere in the world without the internet.
No, but I'm saying
you want to go to a cafe every time.
Back in the day, it was a place, and then
you sit at your computer.
It was called the office. That's what it was.
But when we started using it for pleasure and the commerce
and the smartphones, where you
still
can
have to go to your room that had the computer, the big old clunky computer, and that's
I had that old AT&T my dad had. It was gorgeous.
The loud hum.
It's just massive.
Remember how big Macs used to be? Apple computers used to be?
Remember how big Mac used to be?
Oh, yeah, before he took ill.
You with us still, Mac?
I'm here.
Still with us, Mac.
I'm still here. I'm holding on.
He hasn't been the same since he broke up with Mila Kunis.
Play it again, please. Taco Bell just announced its first ever cereal.
Black.
Isn't that something? Ooh. A breakfast cake on their cinnamon twist dessert option. OnlyFans in a I put OnlyFans when I'm so conditioned to OnlyFans that I made it OnlyFans. Taco Bell will be modeled by a woman having the cereal come out of OnlyFans in a handful of cities. I'm making myself laugh with my mistake. We'll get to try it this week. They're not selling it in stores or online, at least for now. Instead, they partner with Uber Eats, and they're giving boxes of the cereal away.
So
for
it's
free.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Between now and Monday, people in New York, of course, L.A., Chicago, Miami, Dallas, and Atlanta can get a box of Cinnamon Twist cereal if they use Uber Eats to order Taco Bell breakfast before 11 a.m.
Yum.
I've used Uber Eats for Taco Bell. Taco Bell does not deliver quite as nice as you'd like.
No.
It just doesn't.
No, Taco Bell, probably a product that should be eaten as soon as you go through the drive-thru.
In the car.
You know how they say a car loses like 20% of its value the second it's driven off the lot? That's the same with Taco Bell.
It has to be.
And anything fried.
Forget it.
Look, I've had the King, Burger King delivered.
Yes, the King.
Which is just fine. McDonald's. The only thing I'm worried about is somebody eating my fries, as long as it has that seal on it.
Yeah,
fine.
But McDonald's fries hold up pretty well.
Yes, you know? But
they are the best when they're fresh, though. Mm-hmm.
This is what it felt like. I found a bag of Taco Bell on the floor.
Yeah,
right?
And picked it up and said, oh, this is still good. Yes.
It's oil soakage.
Like, a day later, Taco Bell, 40 minutes later when it was delivered.
Science shows that after 2 hours and 10 minutes, the meat in a steak soft taco will begin to regenerate into a cow.
Michael, I came home and Michael had only eaten half of his Chipotle burrito, and I hadn't eaten all day.
That's
and
a huge so she says, burrito.
Michael's got half a burrito. He didn't really like it, and that kid's got good taste in food. The burrito was just horrible, horrifying.
What was the protein?
It was steak. You know, where the strips of steak, which
the
I don't
chewiest
believe.
Steak in town.
Oh my God! It's like, what did you use? The hoof?
Well, no, they have the carnitas, which is different, right?
That's new.
And they have the flank steak.
Yeah.
Steak.
Well, this and the was flank, the flank of the crotch or something. I don't know.
Well, that's what I wanted. Thank you for saying something, because I, as a Latino, I'm like, oh my God, you've got the skirt steak. I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
And it just. Something's off about
it's terrible.
Is it because you go to an authentic Mexican place and you know exactly what it should taste
just
like?
The quality of the meat, there was a gristle factor to it. It was the gristle lover's burrito.
Cheap.
And gotcha. Also, I think Michael or Carla, either one, they like sour cream much more than I do.
Oh, I don't like too much
I do
at
not
all.
Like
or,
sour cream.
Not at all.
Not a fan.
Give me a bowl of it.
Let me see. For everyone else, here's the actual advice Taco Bell gave. Just order some normal cinnamon twists, crush them up, and add milk. So it sounds like that's what the
kiss
cereal
your ass
is
goodbye.
So you can make your own cereal by ordering the cinnamon twists and breaking them up and putting milk on them.
That's
healthy.
Great.
Okay, here's the story. Finally today on our little roundtable, you're not going to like this, Rob. It's about bats.
Oh, Mike.
Researchers have discovered a bizarre mating strategy in bats. And these bats have penises so disproportionately long that they cannot be used for penetrative sex.
Of course, Bruce.
The newly described behavior involves the male bats essentially using their oversized Schwanstucker as an extra arm during the sexual act before mating without penetration. I'm just the messenger. When in a full state of bat excitement, the organs of the male bat, they're called serotine bats. They're around seven times longer than the cave of the females, and
yeah,
I'm not talking
cave.
About the bat cave. The penises also have an unusual heart-shaped head
that is
roughly seven times wider than the opening if they were to, so they can't do it. Both the length and shape of the organ would make penetration post-erection impossible, raising the question of how the bats mate.
Mm-hmm. Well, they find, you know, I would think the most thoughtful mate that has to do some sort of yoga or Pilates.
Well, they have another solution that they.
What's that?
They actually are going to Ireland, where in Ireland the Irish bats have male organs that you can only see with a microscope. Those are the famous mushroom bats.
And they're green, right?
They're green. They're green, and they live at the end of a rainbow next to a pot of gold with a leprechaun.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
And it's a small head, but it's a four-leaf clover. Yes. We'll be right back, everybody. It's a stupid show, but I love it. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you for coming and joining us today. Do you want to lose 21% of your weight?
Yes.
I've lost 70 pounds. I'm excited to share with you. Dermalo-
How many sit-ups?
Huh?
How many sit-ups have you done to lose the 70 pounds?
I did a sit-up to the refrigerator where I took out my pre-refrigerated medication.
Okay.
And put a syringe in my belly.
Yes.
That's the sit-up. And I sat up.
No exercise.
I sat up to do that.
But no exercise.
Other than cycling and steps, I am not in the gym.
Cycling?
Cycling, bicycling.
Where do you bicycle to?
The bike. I got a bike. I got a Trek.
We all have bikes. Doesn't mean we ride them all the time.
No, I might be lying. And I'm excited to share with you that DermGlowSkin.com is, the client is selling the meds for weight loss. It's your one-stop shop for fun. And I'm glad he could work in the Mike didn't have to exercise to lose weight.
That's the beauty of the drug, though. That's the win.
Yeah, I know. I can't argue with you because you're selling the product.
That's
you
the hump.
DermGlowSkin.com is now your one-stop shop for finally getting control of your weight problem. All you have to do is click the weight loss button at DermGlowSkin.com. Take the quiz. See if you qualify. A doctor will write you a prescription. The pharmacy will fill it. And your weight loss medication will be shipped beautifully and directly to your house. You don't have to chase around town trying to find this. Take the quiz online. Go to DermGlowSkin.com to do it. If you're sick of waiting for your medication because of low or out of stock, now hear this. DermGlow will connect you with a doctor that is fully supplied. So no waiting for you. If you are already on it, do what I did. You can easily make the switch. I have lost so much weight that when I yawn, people try to thread me like a needle.
What?
I'm talking thin, Arthur. So go ahead, get excited, and do it all online right now.
When?
Now. At DermGlowSkin.com. If you struggle with weight for too long, you know the drill. Click the weight loss button. Begin the best journey of your life. Make 2024 the year you finally reach your goal. DermGlow, you can do it.
Nice.
Do it, do it. Now, someone yesterday came in here and talked about office rules.
I did.
What are the, I thought it was Oscar's thing, but what is the office rule thing?
These are 10 unspoken office rules. Now, I know that many people are working from home now, but there are still people in the office.
Well, including yourself.
Yeah, and you need
The majority, okay, may I clarify this?
Please.
The majority of our listenership, and God bless you, I don't blame you, and you should if you can, my estimation is 80% of our listening audience is working from home.
That high?
That big a number?
Yes.
Wow. It's amazing.
Well, if you're still reporting into the office and you have to share common space with people, according to Reddit, these are rules that are like never posted, but you should always observe in the office, okay? They're in no particular order. Number one, if you've been in a, and we observe this among our show, if you've been in a meeting forever and your boss says, okay, anything else? Keep your mouth shut.
Any meeting. Any meeting. That doesn't have to be.
That's a Zoom meeting. That's anything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You don't even have to be at the office. That's a Zoom office meeting.
Yeah, that can
meeting.
Be a Zoom meeting. That can
yes.
be. The it's, and look, I understand. I have been in a minuscule amount of meetings where a question was asked that everybody needed to know. And those are valuable, but they right. are one in a million. Most of the end of meeting, all day meeting questions are BS, ass kissy. I'm so engaged, and just shut the F up and be good to your fellow employees.
Did we have man cow on one of
that was the exact story I was going to tell. It was a onboarding meeting for a client.
Might have been Harry's.
Yep.
And, it was
years ago.
I mean, the onboarding call is very nice where you get to talk to the client.
You have to learn about the product, make sure it's a good fit.
But they've also made a presentation. They're pretty good. They got their stuff together.
Yeah.
And we're winding up, and ManCow kept asking questions. And I remember Mike was remote, but Oscar and I were in the same room.
Yeah.
And we were making eyes at each other. Our eyebrows went further and further and further up because he would not shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't do
big,
that.
Big fat line before the meeting. I have a further question. When I switched to my political viewpoint to garner more listeners because my regular shtick has dried up and died.
What was his regular shtick?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
top either. 40, top 40 DJ, I don't know.
All right, number two. Don't be too efficient. It makes other people look bad, and your boss will just ask you to do more. If you're not busy, don't tell anyone.
That's the rule?
That's a rule. That's an unspoken rule.
That's a slacker rule.
It is what? A slacker rule.
That's a BS rule.
How? First off, that's how you get fired, mm-hmm. right? Eventually. Like,
eventually,
you think nobody knows?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't work too efficiently.
In this world of metrics and working from home, and by the way, if you're on the Microsoft platform and you use Teams, they know what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every single ounce of day, they know what you're doing.
That's mm-hmm. it. Absolutely.
So, do that and find out the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why it's an unspoken rule. Number three, this I love. The third time you walk past someone in a day does not require a hello.
I amen
say
to
hi
that.
The first time.
That applies not,
the not second
only to
time.
The work environment, applies to any public space, country yeah. club, you know, tennis courts, a gym. Absolutely, you know, because it's if you do it more than once, it's awkward. If you do it a third time, you're appearing like a stalker.
I love that they have rules here. They say first time hello, second time hi, third time ignore.
I think first time hello and second time ignore. I did it the other day with a guy, and it was very cool.
All right.
Yeah, it was noticeable, so that's what made it cool.
You know,
we had a really nice conversation, and then we walked by each other as we were going in the door and coming out the door.
This is a rule that was often violated at WJFK, and I think people are pretty good about it at Podville. Never reheat something smelly like fish.
Oh, and that's been a given from day one.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of when you get the employee handbook, it yeah. says, if it's smelly, don't bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, speaking of smelly, don't be the smelly person at work. Either no deodorant or too much cologne are equally at fault here.
I don't know what the line in the world of HR is when it comes to odor, but just a pro tip on my end, and maybe I'm violating something, so my apologies. I will just hand, like, I have a rack of deodorants in my closet in my office, new ones, and I'll bring someone in, like, and I'll just hand it to them, and they'll say, use this.
He also has condoms, tampons, everything. It's wonderful.
But then they're like, thank you, and then they don't say anything. That's it. Yeah. That's just a done deal, yeah. right?
Right. Yeah.
That's a done deal. Right. Like, there's no question, no argument. It's like, just want it. Pro tip, we're good to go.
It just, to me, is still awkward, you know?
Yeah,
and
well,
that's
you
good
be
that you're doing that because you're thinking about everybody else.
You gotta be self-aware, though. Yeah,
but I'm giving them a solution.
You run a business, yeah.
right?
I mean, you
yeah.
run an office.
I'm giving yeah. them a solution, absolutely. Not a problem. Not like, hey, figure it out.
It's thoughtful.
Yeah.
It's thoughtful.
I think it is.
And I'll want a list of names. Go ahead, Rob.
If you don't want people using your coffee mug, don't leave it in the kitchen. If you leave it there, it's a communal mug.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, if it's really, if it's, look, if it's I'm with stupid, you better not touch my mug. You
know, yeah. If really. It's a, if it's the, if
what
I
about
see someone,
the one that says Mike O'Mara, disc jockey?
No, if I see my Goonies Never Say Die mug on someone's desk.
Oh, then that's fighting words.
That, for some reason, that would offend me.
You know, we have tons of
or the TMOS
mugs.
Mug.
Yeah,
I have one mug, one yeah. TMOS mug. The one that was a prototype,
the TMOS
that arrived.
Cup.
Yes, that we right. sold. That sold out.
Yes,
but the prototype still sits on my desk.
Right.
If it's on someone's desk with coffee in it, yes. I'd be upset.
All right. There'll be a new version of that soon.
Oh,
yes.
We'd have to look at the ledger.
No, I'm just
before
saying.
We do that.
One of. You know me. It's yes. only the left brain side or whatever, the
yeah,
creative
yeah,
side.
Yeah, yeah.
My as a coffee drinker, my number yes. one seed is something a little. I don't have one here. Heartier.
Like this.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
What is that vessel? What
this
the
is a,
hell is that coffee?
I
mug?
Purchased
what is that
this,
mural on there? What is?
I
it?
Actually purchased this at what do you call it? The Cracker Barrel. When I was stuck in the gift shop. It's an Elvis mug. It is 16 ounces, great handle, and it features
great
the TCB logo.
How much? How much? Be honest.
I think it was like $15.
No chance it's $15.
I think it was.
No chance.
Maybe 20. I don't know. When I see something I want, yeah. money's no object.
That's awesome. Yeah.
There's another Elvis emblazoned on the inside, too.
The reason why our mugs are our mugs.
Yeah.
10% margin on our mugs.
Right.
Because any larger, we'd have to charge more, and that would go down to 5%. Like, that's the size you have.
Just remember the new motto of TMOSstore.com.
Yes.
We won't sell the next thing until we sell out of the next. We won't sell another thing until we sell out of this thing.
We won't sell it if you don't buy it.
That's right. If you yes. don't buy it, we won't sell it. That's the actual.
If you don't buy really it, we won't sell it.
All right. Mike, unless you have a private office, never use your speakerphone. People need to be mindful of how loud they are.
Oh, amen. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And do you?
Big deal when we used to take the train in New York with the quiet.
Oh, car. The worst.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm on the train.
Yeah.
Do you?
It's always some swinging D could, that likes, I'm Mr. Business.
Yeah. I could actually share this with Rob now. Do you know, you're probably unaware of this because of your hearing loss.
What's that?
And that you were so loud in your office.
I'm a loud guy. Yeah. I apologize about that.
Now, you don't have to apologize for it, but you probably weren't aware that you could hear your entire conversation even when you were on like headphones.
Wow.
In the lobby. Because you were just where you project, right?
Right.
No, but just it would be. I'd walk through the lobby. I'd be like, "Oh my god, this is so loud."
And what Mike is doing there—that was a virtual meeting with my therapist.
It would evolve, though. It would be like.
Yeah, and meanwhile in the lobby, Dan O'Brien's taking notes.
Like, The FedEx guy's like, is that man okay? No, he's just doing his weekly online therapy. Yeah. He's fine.
All right, number eight, don't mess with other people's stuff. Like if someone's out sick and you know they have extra ketchup in their desk, don't grab them.
It's always
food. Yeah, you don't related. F with anybody's desk. Yeah.
No.
You just don't.
There's
you
a reason
you gotta
why
call
people
them and
are
ask.
Staying home, I think we know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Shannon would hit my desk up for candy. And stuff, and
but that's that. Is,
but that's
you know
expected. But I'm going to tell a funny story about.
Okay.
It. She came and got a pack of gum and signed onto my computer and opened a Google search bar and wrote in the search bar, "What's the best way to steal gum?" And just
that's funny. That is funny. You know what? I didn't violate any of these rules because when I would be off the air. When I would get out of the studio, my ass would spend as little time in that building as humanly possible.
Mike, your shirt would never touch your back.
The greatest one was on Friday, which was golf day, and Alan Goodman said, "We want to have a show meeting right after you get off the air on Friday." I went. Same laugh that you did.
It's funny you say enjoy that, Mike, because number 10 is don't schedule meetings first thing Monday or last thing Friday.
Amen.
It's a great way to make people hate you.
Amen.
I didn't work with you in mornings, but in afternoons, I know you considered it a successful departure if we were still signing off when you got to your car.
Absolutely. 100%.
And that's true.
I had enough togetherness.
Yeah.
The coolest move. Because we were on before you.
Right.
And because, I don't know, we were radiophiles as well. We would sit in our office upstairs. We'd do that online after show that would sometimes take down the stream because it was so early in this incarnation of doing online streaming. And I remember walking out and it was roughly, you know, 30 minutes before your show ended, Mike.
Uh-huh.
And seeing Carla in a silver Range Rover, like with the car running in the parking lot, and I was like
revving it.
Yeah, I think I was like, "Hi, is it,
get
like,
in."
I think no, I said, "I think Mike's still doing the show." She's like, "Oh yeah, he'll be right out." And I'm like, "But I'm looking at my watch."
Right.
You're like, "Oh, he's got 30 more minutes." He like you're just gonna sit in the like what's going on? Like I thought there was some confusion.
And then she'd say, "It's actually 25 minutes, and he'll be down here in 26."
Yeah.
Which is why Mike never grabbed his sunglasses. Too much delay.
Yes.
He was out the door.
But it's important to point out, during that time that these things right here, these important things to me were open, 2,000% effort. Sorry. No response.
They were only open for 4 hours.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, 2 hours and 30 minutes. Less commercials.
I don't know about that. We have to take a break. When we come back, it's Oscar's world. We're going to talk about connectivity with Oscar on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Hope you're having a good time. We were talking about it before. Let's talk about it again. Important news. The TMOS store chugging along. We talked to you about the hats. They're on the way. Hopefully by the end of this week, I'm going to have a little prototype for you to see. Visit our store. Open 24 hours. There's new merchandise options arriving very, very soon. We're excited about our limited edition hats. Times of fleeting. Sob.
What?
It says sob keep visiting.
Oh, so keep visiting.
TMOSstore.com. So keep visiting. Sob keep visiting. I well, could do sob. It with a. Perhaps sometimes when you write it like that, I think you want a dialect, you know? So, and that would have to be some sort of Slavic dialect.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Sob keep visiting TMOSstore.com and share the TMOS gospel. Grab your TMOS gear and support show you love. Every purchase, keep laugh coming. Har, har, har. TMOSstore.com, source for all things TMOS official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember our motto. Take it away, Rob.
If you don't buy it, we won't sell it.
Bingo. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So, Alaska, watching The True Detective. Oscar. Question yes. for you about
it has Jodie Foster this season, right?
Jodie Foster is a really, really good cast. Very scary and unique. Jury's out how much I love it. I don't necessarily love it just yet, but I like the show. Connectivity the other night, so maddening. I just couldn't get the circles to go away. I rebooted my modem. I rebooted my router. I rebooted everything. I rebooted my television. I rebooted... Last night, popped the same thing on because I didn't want to give up on it. As pristine and crystal, Bristol clear picture as a human being can get.
Is this in your bedroom or in your living room?
This is in my living room.
Are you hardwired to your
I am
room?
Not hardwired to
okay.
my living room.
I can't believe you're getting the picture you're getting. I've seen the picture. You have a great. If you think you have a great picture now, Mike, if you hardwired your television in your living room, you would have the 4K you deserve.
Really?
It's the speed.
Okay.
Wi-Fi, it's always going to be, you know, hit or miss. It depends.
Flaky.
It really depends on the load. Yeah. All right. Hardwired, perfect.
Second question, Mr. Yes. Santana. I have this question regarding my latency and the choppy video when I go to full screen on my MacBook.
Yes.
I have done free up RAM. I have done battery stuff where enhanced video when battery is, on. I have done many. I cannot seem to watch my Jets take off seamlessly when I have full screen, and I'm not sure.
May I offer, ask a question that goes on with this. Because it's the same signal coming in, it's the same. It's not like a higher resolution. It's just making it bigger. Why would full screen be more of a strain on the computer than the mini screen?
Mac, why don't you weigh in on this?
Oh boy,
it theoretically shouldn't. I mean, it's graphics related, so it's still pulling the same thing because streaming doesn't really take up that much intensity. So I'm not sure.
Are you in the bathroom or are you in your bedroom when you're watching the full screen video that you're trying to watch? Compared to, like, because the best test would be if you have these issues in the garage versus where your studio is.
I have these issues in every room of the house. I have these issues whether I am connected to battery or not, whether I'm connected to electric or not.
Okay, so my only option is to hypothetically, and people will help you, so please feel free to write Mike and let him know. Is that you have a cache issue that you need to clear your cache on your computer.
Cache,
because that's just taking up to, or you have too many programs open that's killing your CPU that's affecting your graphics card. That's the only, and those are
I have quick
off the top
time.
Of my head.
Is that, should I put another player on there?
I
on
thought
YouTube,
QuickTime
you shouldn't
was,
need QuickTime.
Yeah, you shouldn't need QuickTime.
All right, I don't know. I don't know.
What type of videos are you watching?
I mean, I just looked into my apps.
A lot of .rus.
No.
What do you think about that, Mac? Oh, we've lost Mac.
Oh, no. Horrible.
He's flatlined.
Oh, wait. He's back.
This is the computer you're using right now, right?
Yeah. The one I'm
you
looking
can
at
that,
right
Rob,
here.
Please. It's really
right
loud.
Here.
Don't mind. Okay, so that guy right there.
Let me see what year it is.
Do you have a full update? There's no chance you updated that machine in like 3 years.
I've got new software?
Yeah.
I updated every software that comes out.
All your iOS?
I
what
Sonoma,
are you running right now?
Sonoma.
Sonoma.
That's the latest.
Wine country.
Yes. I'm not allowed to have that update.
Where's my...
It'd be detrimental to your health.
Yeah,
this is a 2020 computer.
Oh. Yeah, so you should be killing it. Yeah. You should be killing it.
Mm-hmm. What version of Sonoma are you running, Mike? Because
the Sonoma 14.2.1.
That's exactly current. Attaboy. That's nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. How many? This is great for everybody. I'm sure you're riveting.
I doff my cap to you.
If you go to the top left hand hand of your Mac, go hit the Apple, and then see Force Quit. How many programs are running? I just want to see.
Do this. I just press Force Quit?
Yeah, and then you'll see all the programs that are currently running on your machine in the background.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's okay. Too many.
Too many. Too many for what you're doing. You should Force Quit everything you're not using.
Before the show every day.
Every day. And before, and then that should fix your stream. I still think it's your Wi-Fi signal, but you refuse to admit to it.
Tell me the ones I need to quit. Activity monitor.
Gone.
Gone.
Freeform.
Gone.
Gone.
Can't quit Chrome. That's what I have.
No, need that.
No, you're on Chrome.
Pages. I use that every day.
Yeah, but quit it while you're running the stuff.
Why do you need it?
PDF signer. I don't use that every day.
What is that?
Podcast soundboard, using it right now.
Need it? Yeah. Okay.
Print center, use that every day.
Yeah, but you don't need it right now.
Ring, like the doorbell.
Oh, what? Lose
it. That's another video
and
program.
Finder.
Finder has to stay.
You can't quit that. I mean, that's not bad.
No.
I think it's your Wi-Fi signal.
Thank you. Is there something you wanted to add, though? I know there was something you wanted to mention about.
Oh, the glowworms are back in town.
The glowworms. What are the glowworms?
Yes. That's my parents.
Oh, that's right.
When your parents get older, for you young folk out there, they get colder faster.
Yeah.
And
I can relate.
Because your skin just gets thinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning. So the layers of clothes that they wear are multi-layered. Sure. It's like they're going skiing every day, but there's no snow. So every time I see them or I pick them up to take them places, they look like glowworms because they're so wrapped up in their coats.
Like the old toy that you would hug, a little green bug that when you hugged it, it would light up.
Yes. Little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer.
So the glowworms were put on a plane and LAX, they arrived to DC.
Oscar.
I'm sorry.
For Mike. Mike loves when I can work Johnny Mercer.
Little glowworm glimmer. Thank you.
Thank
now you. Now
you
got to kill it because okay. So mess with
it. So they, I'm at home. They're arriving to Reagan. It is, I'm sorry. I'm at work. They're arriving to Reagan.
Right.
And it's Sunday night and it's an 8:45 arrival. An estimated, and I get a text from my brother at 7:50, and he says, are you at the airport? And I said, why would I be at the airport? I'm making a living. I'm working. And he says, Mom and Dad are landing now. And I said, how do you know that? He goes, I have the flight tracker on. I was like.
And you're summoned to pick them up.
So, So I basically was like, oh, like, S, fine. But
please
I'm 12
drop
minutes,
everything.
I'm 12 minutes away.
Your parents
fine.
Are pampered. Your parents pampered. They've taken good care of you.
They sacrifice for
us.
Like we have to sacrifice for them.
I mean, that's. Yeah. I mean, go get them.
You know? Logistics.
I mean,
logistics.
Your father is a world traveler, though. He's more than capable of like handling himself and getting them out to Olney, is he not?
Yes, but he also likes to be taken care of. I imagine. So
okay. Also
the like, sign of respect,
hold on,
right?
Real quick, because we're running out of
tight
time.
Tight with a dollar.
Yeah. Let me ask this question. If you don't show up and say, hey, I'm swamped, I can't, will there be fallout?
Not from my father, but my mother will hold it against me for 6 months.
Okay, that's all I need to know. You got to get it. You got to drop everything and go to the airport.
So you go, you park at DCA, which is not easy.
No.
Then you run. You run if you're a 45-year-old man still scared of his parents. You run to baggage claim to be there when they arrive. So
you can't even just pull up and be there when they leave baggage claim?
No, because you have to help them with their bags. You have to get the little cart. Oh, you have to get them.
The smart cart, Mike.
The good son for the
glowworms. You have to do.
The glowworms.
And we get them packed up. I get there. They're like, oh, you thought you'd be late because we arrived early. I said, no, your favorite son, connected with me and said, you're here. So I raced to get you. And we're driving. They know I have to come back to DC to go back to work because Sundays we work.
Right.
And my mom says, do you think we could get some food? This is on the way home. I'm racing from the nation's capital to the outskirts of what is Maryland.
Yoli entitlement. And,
yes. And I said, Mom, I was like, I'd love to get some food, but it would have to be fast food. There's a McDonald's, a Taco Bell. And she goes, is Roy Rogers still open? And I said,
wow.
I said, Roy Rogers? We haven't had Roy Rogers in 30 years, and that's what you have a hankering for, lady?
Long flight from L.A.
Yes. I said, I think McDonald's are the best bet. We're going to go there. I know they're open 24 hours. I've been there a zillion times. We'll do it. So I get a McDonald's, drop off the glowworms, and on my way out, I leave. I'm racing back to D.C. Not that I have to race, but I got to get out of there.
Yeah, because you had to help them with their bags and stuff, so it wasn't even just a drop off.
My mom calls back and she said, there's something wrong with the lights. And I said, well, she goes, I said, are you standing in the dark? She goes, no, but half the house doesn't have lights.
So then
I'm about to hit the highway. I turn the car around.
Jesus.
I go back to the house and I go, and clearly a breaker had flipped. So fine. Fix the breaker. I leave and my mom looks at me. She goes, thank you for being such a great son.
Oh, well, worth every moment of it.
Not worth it. I was super annoyed. I know that she loves my brother more. It's fine.
Worth it even.
Not worth it.
As a percentage of the year, out of the entire year, what percentage of times will you get that kind of compliment?
Oh, maybe if I'm lucky, 2% of the year.
Hold on to 2%. Hold on to it tight.
Yes. We'll be right back with a very abbreviated flip side on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, you're a good son. You are a good son. Hey, what's your New Year's resolution? You probably want to tackle that ancient box of treasured videotapes and photos that you've been meaning to preserve but weren't sure where to start. Those beautiful pictures that Oscar has of his mom complimenting him. Legacy Box makes it easy. Simply send in your Legacy Box filled with camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures. Then get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. It's like magic. And by going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. We've all used Legacy Box and we all love it. It's like a time machine that takes you back and it lasts forever. After 10 years in business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer, and it's all done right here in the USA. Kick off the new year by rescuing your family's most cherished memories that haven't been watched or enjoyed in years. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 50%. Buy today and send it in when you're ready. Just go to legacybox.com/TMOS. Again, that's legacybox.com/TMOS, people. Take it away, Rob Spiewak. Running super late today.
The flip side.
We really only have time for one tape today. I'm trying to find out what the best one to do is. Probably Honey Brooks.
Honey Brooks.
Honey Brooks is a OnlyFans provider from Australia. And a lot of times in old movies, they would use the phrase a merry mix-up when something doesn't go exactly to plan. Well, Honey Brooks had a merry mix-up on her OnlyFans page.
I had a sub on my page who...
Sub meaning subscriber, okay?
I had a sub on my page who subbed probably like 6 months ago. He asked if there was a more personalized experience for him to purchase. I offer a girlfriend experience, but it's quite expensive. So he continues with that package for like 3 months. He stopped messaging me because his wife found out. His wife, that is one of my best friends, and I've met him multiple times. Like, we literally go out on family dates.
Not too weird.
Awkward.
That he knows her in real life and still got the girlfriend experience. So there's that.
It must have not been that great if she didn't realize it was him. Like, I don't know what an OnlyFans girlfriend experience is.
It's all virtual, so I think it's mostly on her.
You.
Yeah. What is connected?
His RAM is slow.
What is intimate? What's intimate about just texting?
Well, there's also, I would imagine there's live video too.
Well, then she would know it's him. That's
not
what I'm
if
saying.
He covers his face.
Spoken like a man who's probably never enjoyed a good erotic novel.
And Mike, last night, the debut of Taylor Tomlinson. This is very brief. She's the show that follows Colbert on CBS now. This is from her stand-up. I think you'll appreciate the punch.
In sopping wet news, the world's biggest cruise ship, the Icon of the Seas, is set to begin its maiden voyage later this month.
Oh,
yeah. This thing is massive. It's like the Mall of America in that it's full of people from Minneapolis.
That's all.
There you go.
Oh, the rest of them are down here. Did you get to the buffet then?
Yeah. The rest of them are down here. Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky, and Missouri.
Kentucky's new, isn't it?
Yeah. Next to Missouri, next to Indiana.
Nice.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Rob Spielwack and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at michaelmaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Well, it's nice to find a fellow with a keen sense of humor.
And the best thing is to wear pantyhose under a short skirt, I think. And you can always take off the skirt and use it as a cape.
I'll recommend your services to anyone I know who has diabetes.